I've been here one other time before. I got to meet Brother Dennis. He did Mary and Jesse's wedding. And ever since then, he's been trying to get me to come in. I haven't been able to come in. And I'm just happy I've been able to be here today. And I thank the Lord for safety driving here. And I know you guys don't know much about me. 28 years old. I got saved when I was 21. I don't have an exact date. I wish I wrote it down somewhere, but I didn't. And right after I had gotten saved, the devil jumped on my back and he started, you know, throwing a lot of things my way and really pulled me away from the church. And I was out of church for about 2 years, and I went through a lot of chastisement, and I didn't know what was going on. It was like they say, when you get saved, you're like a baby, and you have to be nurtured with the milk of the Word of God. And I didn't know anything else besides the fact that I got saved. And I went off and I did, you know, what I thought maybe God wanted me to do, and I pursued a career, and I was trying to be, you know, famous in a sense. I wanted to be a bodybuilder, and I was doing great, and things were going great for me, but I hit rock bottom, and the Lord started to take things away from me, and I'm thinking, what is going on? And I said, you know what, Mom? At this point, I couldn't even go to sleep at night, and I would just sit up at night thinking, what in the world's going on? And I was kind of like losing my mind a little bit. I had anxiety that was just like, I mean, unheard of to me. Usually I'm pretty relaxed and laid back. And really, I believe God was just, you know, trying to draw me to Him and pull me to Him. And He was chastising me. I lost my job and had to sell my vehicle. And I was just like, man, what in the world is going on? And I went out to church. It was July 27th, I believe, 27th or 28th, 2012. And my Uncle Jerry picked me up. He was going to the church for about 15 years at that point. And the message that was preached was just, I mean, it hit me hard. It hit me hard, and it was like I was the only person in the room. I'm looking around like, did somebody tell this guy what in the world's going on in my life? And it was just God. And from that day forward, I went home, and I'd made a decision that day that, you know, what am I doing? Everything that I'm doing is for myself. It's not for God. It's not for eternal, you know, value. And I realized that. And I gave my life to God, and 3 months later, I was in Bible college, which is crazy. I don't know why my pastor let me join the Bible college yet. I didn't know a thing. And I went through 4 years of Bible college and graduated, and God called me to preach at a Sunday school conference, September 12, 2015. So I've only preached a handful of times. I'm thankful for this opportunity. Bear with me. I'll probably be your favorite preacher because I'll probably be one of the shortest ones you ever hear preach. But we're going to open up to Genesis chapter 1 first. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start here in verse 1, and I'm going to go through a couple of verses here for you. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3 it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let's go down to verse 6, and it says, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divide the waters from the waters which were under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Verse 9, it says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb, yielding seed and fruit, and tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 14, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, and divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And Lord, I just pray you to help me to get out of the way, and I pray that your word would work in the hearts of the people here. And I pray, Father, that I wouldn't say anything that I shouldn't say, and I pray that everything I say would be what you want me to say, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you cleanse me. Lord, I plead the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you fill me with your Spirit. I pray the Spirit would work in the hearts of the people in this room. I pray you help me to inspire them. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity again. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we have point number one here. God's word is our creator. God's word is our creator. You see a pattern here in verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, and verse 14. It says, and God said, and it happened. And that's exactly how it was. God's word is our creator. Could you imagine if you could just say, hey, let's get a stack of money over here, and boom, there's a stack of money. Or hey, your car breaks down, and you say, hey, you know, car be fixed, and it was fixed. That's our God. He's the creator. His word is our creator. He said, let it be, and that's how it was. So point number one, God's word is our creator. Point number two, we're going to go over to Colossians 1:17. I'm going to have you guys turn to a lot of scriptures here. It's kind of a topical message. I just want to share some points with you about God's word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. I didn't have you guys stand on my first verse. I'm going to have you guys stand now for the reading of the word of God. Sorry about that. Colossians 1:17. Actually, I'm going to start in 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, and he said, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. By him all things consist. God's word is our sustainer, it's our constant. Constant. God's word is it's our constant. It says he's before all things. The reason that we have breath in our lungs, a beat in our heart, it's because of God's word. God said it and it was, and our heart's not going to stop until God says. And it's, you can be seated, sorry. And God said, you know, that the world's gonna hang upon nothing. And the world hangs upon nothing, and it spins upon its axis in the middle of nowhere in space. Science can't explain it, nobody can explain it. But God said it, and that's how it was. God's word is our creator. God's word is our sustainer. And God's word is the reason that we're living today, like I said. Point number three, I'm going to have you turn to Ephesians 5. Let's go to Ephesians 5. God's word is our creator. You think about God's word and how he just said it, and it was. He said it and it was. I mean, it's amazing. You think about the power that God's word has. Ephesians 5, verse 26. Actually, we'll start in verse 25. My wife likes this verse. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. God's word is our cleanser. It's water for washing. It's water for washing. Washing spiritually. We worry so much about, you know, looking good on the outside and being clean on the outside, and a lot of times we don't think about the inside, and that water, that the water for washing is a picture of God's word. It's a picture of God's word. And you know, I'll tell you what, when I'm at work all day, I come home. I work at a warehouse. I'm also a driver. A lot of the times it's nice to get on the road so I don't have to be around all the filth. And, you know, when I come home, I feel like I just jumped out of the cesspool. And you know what I need? I need God's word. Amen. God's word, it cleanses our members. It cleanses our... The world attracts our eyes, and it attracts our ears and our mind. And we need God's word here to establish our thoughts. You know what I mean? We need God's word in order to cleanse us spiritually. God's word is our creator. It's our sustainer. It's constant. It's always going to be here. God's word is our water for washing. It's our cleanser. It said, what does it say? It says, Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Only growing up as a young kid today, and a teenager, I'll tell you what, you need God's word if you're going to survive as a Christian. You need it. And without it, you're just going to believe what the world believes. You're going to get involved with what the world's involved in. And so many times we just look past God's word and we just think, you know, I'm just going to be a Christian, but you need God's word. It's that water for washing, especially in today's day and age. We need to be washing daily in God's word. We have God's word is our creator. God's word is our sustainer. It's our cleanser. And it's also our protector. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. It's not wrong with turning to a bunch of verses in the Bible, right? Luke chapter 4, it's our protector. It's our admonition. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, starting in verse 1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone, it be made bread. Verse 4, And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, by every word of God. So the devil comes to him, you know, when he's at his weakest point, when he's hungry, when he's tired. I'll tell you what, I bet many can attest to this, that when we're tired and we're just worn out, that's when all of a sudden the devil starts, he starts showing up. You start seeing things you don't want to see. You go on the internet, all of a sudden it's there. You get away from it. You can't click on it. You got to just stay off here. You got to make yourself strong in God's word. It's our protector. It's an admonition. God says that we're a soldier of Christ, and a soldier knows his weapon, right? A soldier knows his weapon. He knows when to use it. A good soldier knows his weapon. He knows when to use it. He knows how to use it, right? This is our ammunition. This is our ammo. Without this, we're not going to be able to fight off the enemy. With this, we can fight off the enemy every time. And God gives us, Jesus Christ himself gives us an example here. He didn't have to do any of this. He could have just told the devil to get lost, and he would have. But he does this for us, for our example. God's word is our protector. It protects us from those principalities, the darkness, the dark powers in this world that surround us. God's word is our creator. It's a creator. It's a sustainer. It's a cleanser. It's a washing of water. It's our protector. It's our admonition against the enemy. God's word is also, it's where our faith comes from. It's where our faith comes from. Our faith is derived from this book, right? We're going to go to John 4 and read a couple verses here. John 4, verse 40, we're going to start in. Verse 40, So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. He abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. They believed, this is Jesus Christ, they believed because of his own word. And the brother was talking this morning in his Sunday school lesson that he gave a man a tract that was outside of a fast food restaurant, and the man was just, he dove into it. And it got his attention. And God's word is what makes people believe. It gives us our faith. I'm sure many of you here have a time where you can say the first time you heard God's word and it hit home. Maybe not the first time, but eventually, you know what? God's word never returns void. It festers in our heart and it pricks and it shows us that spot, you know, that our sin. And it shows us and it gives us faith to believe in God. When I don't have faith all the time, you know what I need? I need to get in God's word. This gives us our faith. God's word is our faith. When I'm out soul winning, and if I knock on a door, I try to relate with the person. Hopefully, they got an Eagles flag. If they have a Cowboys flag, I just leave. I don't even knock on their door. But if they have an Eagles flag, I come right off the bat and I say, "Hey, man, that's a nice flag right there." Or if they got a nice car, I try to relate with them and try to pull them in. You know, win them to myself first. But really, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get God's word into that person's hand, into their house, into their heart, hoping and praying that they read that track. And sometimes I read the person, you have the opportunity to give them some scripture, give them some of God's word, because that's where they're going to get their faith from. That's where they're going to believe, from God's word. And many times, you know, you might think it's about, oh man, I gotta think what to say, but not be such a weirdo when I go knock on this person's door. What are they going to think? I'm knocking on their door, I'm crazy. But no, you got to get God's word in their hands, and you got to be sincere, and you got to show them the importance of God's word. So God's word is—it's our creator, it's our sustainer, it's constant, it's the—it's our cleanser, it's our protector, it's our faith. And we're going to turn over to Revelation. I'm not going to say the point yet until I read the verse. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, one of my favorite verses, set of verses in the Bible. I love when my pastor, he recites them off of, recites this whole chapter off of memory, and it's just like, it's just so powerful. It says here in verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." God's Word is Jesus Christ. God's Word, God, Jesus Christ is the living Word. These are God's words to us. Jesus, the Bible tells us to study the words of Christ. These are the words of Christ here. God's Word is Jesus Christ. It says, "Out of his mouth will come a sharp sword, and with it he will smite the nations." I believe when God comes back, it's going to be just like when he came in the beginning. And he's going to speak it, and it's going to happen. Right. He's going to command that they bow the knee, and they're going to bow the knee. Right. He's going to smite the nations with his words. With his words, not with force with his hands, because he doesn't have to. His word is that powerful. God's word is powerful. God's word is, it's precious. It's a precious word. I mean, you could go on forever and say, God's word is this, God's word is this. It's everything good. It's God's love letter to us. It's living. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is, it's the hidden treasure. It's the hidden treasure in this world. People are looking for that hidden treasure in this world. And they're looking to the bar stool. They're looking to the doctor. Give me a pill that helps me feel better. What's wrong with me? God's word is the hidden treasure that they're looking for. When I was out in the world, and I'll tell you that anxiety that I was having, and I told you I got saved, and God was just rebuking me, and he was trying to teach me a lesson. He was trying to bring me to him, trying to draw me to him softly. And you know, I'm a dummy, so I need like a little bit of, like, you know, let's go to church. You know, your uncle over there, he's always telling you to come out. My mom tells me to come out, but I'm doing my own thing, and I think that it's what God wants me to do, and then I'm left empty. God's word is that hidden treasure that fills that, like many preachers say, that God-sized hole that you have in your heart that only God can fill. God's word is that hidden treasure. I got some stats here about God's word. And it says about, I don't know how credible these are, but I hope they're pretty accurate. To date, about 2,200 languages don't have a Bible, right? But we have a Bible. And I believe, you know, the English language is a universal language in the world. Many countries you go to, a lot of people know English, right? So a lot of people, I believe, we could give them an English Bible, and they could learn how to read it, and they could receive that truth. But those 2,200 languages, there's 52 countries where the Bible is rejected, either by law or by people, Sharia law, Muslim law. It's out of those 12 countries, out of those 52 countries, 12 of them, it's a covert operation to get these Bibles in. You got to smuggle them in, and you got to do it with, I mean, you got to be sly, you got to be slick to get them in there. Not too long ago, my church went to China, and with the National Hoops, it's called. It's a man. He actually just took over a church, Mike Washer. He travels to different countries and he does basketball tournaments in hope to get one-on-one conversations with these people in China, because you can't. I mean, it's really difficult to bring it up in China. Very difficult. And it was just awesome that a couple guys got to go there and got to be a part of that and just see how blessed we are to have God's Word just readily open, you know, at any time we get on our phone, anything like that. 52 countries, 15 of them, it's illegal or highly restricted to have a Bible. 24 of them out of the 52, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. So if you're found with the Word of God, you know, you might be killed. You might be taken into prison. You might be beat. And I couldn't imagine. I take my Bible over to Starbucks. Nobody says anything. Maybe somebody might get mad at me, but I mean, I don't have to worry about anybody taking me and beating me or killing me. And it's crazy that we have God's Word so readily available. And I want to actually read this story that I found online. This man named Jack. And Jack's from China. And this story really touched my heart. I was studying about, you know, these stats here, and this story came up. And I'm going to read it, try not to get emotional. Meeting Jack, it says, "Jack became a Christian. He feels he has to still hide his faith for now, as his father is a Communist Party member and his uncle is a devoted Muslim who serves as a teacher in the mosque. His new faith, if his new faith were exposed, the consequences would be serious. His uncle would surely beat him, and his father would probably expel him from his home. When I met Jack, I had two books in different language with me, and I asked him to identify them for me, and he told me the one contained Luke and Acts, and the other contained the Old Testament, Genesis and Exodus. When he saw the latter book, his eyes lit up, and he asked if he could have it. Jack's reaction, it says, when I gave it to him, Jack was thrilled. He took the scriptures to his lips. He kissed them. He kissed his Bible, right? He kissed them. And now understand, he says, now I understand why a voice told me to carry a backpack along as I left home today. I didn't see a need to do it, but I'm glad that I obeyed it. It is to carry this Bible. Now I can hide it in the backpack, and no one from the street or at the house will see it. Because of his reaction, I thought perhaps this was his first Bible Jack had owned, but he explained that a friend had given him one a year before, and when authorities began to search for Bibles in the community, he buried the book, and sadly, he could not find it again once the situation cooled. After hearing how he had lost his Bible, it was a joy to see Jack holding the new one so tightly in his arms. I've been praying for another Bible, and God sent you here to give me this gift today. Thank you so much. And I have this bag here that I brought. And I have, it's not food, it's not anything like that. And I collect Bibles, right? As you can see, I got an issue. My wife says I got an issue. But I love Bibles. And I love the leather, and I love the smell of them, and I just love to hold them and have different Bibles. Some people like to collect shoes, and some people like to collect other things. And I like to collect Bibles. I'm not the best Bible scholar. Oh, man, look at him. He's so... No, it's not that way at all. I just like to have them. And it's just so convicting. This man gets one Bible. I mean, you could give him a page of the Bible, and I bet you he would have been kissing it, and he would have been happy. And just... It just kind of shocks me how, you know, how easy it is for me to walk away and from my house in the morning, because I woke up later, I rushed out, and I didn't even pick up God's word in the morning to read it. Man, it's convicting to me. I bet you Jack would never do that with his Bible. I guarantee he reads it every day, multiple times a day. And it's the hidden treasure. It's the hidden treasure. God's word, and it, like I said, God's word is Jesus Christ. And God's word gives us that faith to believe in Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, one of us would be more than happy to show you from this book how you could have faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's word is the author, it's the author and finisher of our faith. If it wasn't for Christ saying it is finished on the cross, we wouldn't be allowed to go into heaven. If he never put the blood on the mercy seat and God see us through Jesus Christ's blood, we would never be able to enter heaven. And because of that, you know, we need to believe in what Jesus Christ did for us. He lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. We're not perfect. I have sin in my life. You have sin in your life. And if there wasn't Jesus Christ, there would be no answer. The Bible tells us because of our sin, we deserve death. We deserve death. And that death meaning hell. I deserve right now to split hell wide open and be cast in there forever. That's what I deserve. But because Jesus Christ, because God thought I was worthy. If I was the only one on this earth, he would have died for me. He would have died for me. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm grateful for that. And the day that I heard the truth of the word of God, and the day that I'll tell you a story. When I was a kid, I saw a picture on the wall when I was at my Uncle Jerry's house, actually. They used to babysit me. And it was a picture just like the one the gentleman had here in the morning of people walking over to a pit that was fire. And then there was, you know, and along that road, it was lights, and it would look like fun, right? It looked like fun. It looked like you were down over in Las Vegas or something. And it looked attractive, right? And then the other one, road, was narrow. And then there was a gap that needed to be bridged, and it was a cross. And there was only a few people crossing that bridge into heaven. But the other one, it was packed. And I said, what is this? Aunt Debbie, and I'm maybe 3 years old. And she said, well, that's heaven and that's hell. And I'm like, okay. Well, why are they going down there? She said, well, you know, it's your choice. It's your choice whether or not you go down there or you go into heaven with God. And I thought, well, I mean, if it's my choice, I'm going to heaven. That's what I thought when I was 3 years old. I didn't understand it. But ever since then, I grew up Catholic, actually, and I remembered that picture. And I would have, like, moments of where I would just be so afraid. And I would just be, I'd start crying. I'd be like, Mom, I don't want to go to hell. And she's like, what are you talking about? You're not going to go to hell. I'm like, how do you know? My mom didn't have the answer. You know, so I thank God that one day I got to hear the truth. And a preacher stood up behind the pulpit at my church and told me that if you were to die today, you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And that's what I've been thinking that. I was thinking that my whole life. And I thought, what? I can know? That was amazing to me. And I went forward. I grabbed my mom's hand. I saw she was crying. I said, let's go. And we went down and we both received Christ together. And you can do that today if you never have. You can do that today. And thank you for being so attentive and listening to me. And, you know, I just wanted to challenge you guys about God's word and just being thankful for it. And each morning, get up, kiss it like Jack did and read it. And just, it's that hidden treasure. It cleans our souls. It cleans us spiritually. So I thank you for the opportunity. I wish Brother Dennis was here. I'll see him tonight. And I hope we'll have another good service tonight. Thank you for listening. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to bless the afternoon. Lord, we love you. And I thank you, Father, for all that you've done, Lord. I thank you for the message going smoothly, Lord. I pray that it would just touch somebody's heart about the Word of God, and they would just be on fire for the Word of God, and that they would go out and they tell everybody about the Word of God. And I thank you, Father, for the Word of God, the hidden treasure that it is, the mysteries that you've revealed to us through your Word. You told us we have a more sure word of prophecy than the prophets and the people back in the Old Testament. Lord, it's because of this book. And I thank you for it. And I thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name I pray.